Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. It was a brisk fall day in October of 2020 when Fern Baird found herself visiting Ketchum, Idaho. From Park City, Utah, Fern was no stranger to the outdoors and hiking. She loved the outdoors and not only thoroughly enjoyed hiking, but was also an avid skier, spending many years herself as a ski instructor. On the morning of October 19th, 2020, Fern Baird went down to the hotel front desk staff and asked for some recommendations on what to do in the area that day. The Prairie Creek Trail was suggested to her, and she decided that sounded like a beautiful hike. She signed the guest book at the trailhead and set off to hike the nearly 10-mile loop, excited to view the different small waterfalls on her way to the lake. On the morning of October 22nd, 2020, 3 days after Fern left for her hike, the hotel she was staying at realized that she had not been back to her room in those 3 days. It would be the hotel staff that alerts authorities to Fern's disappearance. Her vehicle was quickly found at the parking lot for the Prairie Creek Trailhead. There was no sign of Fern anywhere. Where is Fern Alexandra Baird? Thank you so much for being here, for supporting our show, and helping us spread awareness of these unsolved missing person cases. The story of Fern Baird is an interesting one, and the more I looked into the area that she vanished from, the more ominous it seemed. And it might call out the forestry department for even keeping this trail open to the public. Fern Baird was a successful real estate broker in Park City, Utah. She also owned a bag company called Yopa Bag, where her focus was on utility and sport bags for the outdoors. In 2020, Fern was 62 years old. Her son was living in California, and she was enjoying time hiking and adventuring out on her own. Her businesses were doing well, and things overall were going great for Fern. In October, she took a trip to Ketchum, Idaho. The reason for that trip is never explained. But Fern wanted to enjoy some of the outdoors while she was there. The state offers beautiful countryside, pine forests, mountains, and meadows, and Fern wanted to go exploring. On October 19th, Fern went to the front desk of the hotel and asked for some recommendations on what to do in the area. One hike in particular that the staff member mentioned was the Prairie Creek Trail, part of the Sawtooth National Forest. This sounded like just what Fern was looking for. She drove up to the trailhead, parked her car, and walked over to the guest book. She signed that guest book at 1:17 p.m., and along with her name, she wrote, quote, "To the lake and back," end quote. The Prairie Creek Trail is actually a network of a few different trails. It's actually pretty confusing the more I looked into the different trails off of the Prairie Creek Trail. And it was mentioned that she was likely doing the Prairie Creek Trail, that is a 10-mile hike out and back. generally taking hikers anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours to complete. In any event, whether Fern wanted to do a longer trail or one of the shorter ones, she was experienced, she was dressed appropriately, she was very physically fit, and despite some of the trail being listed as moderately challenging, it still should be a very doable hike for Fern. There were some other hikers entering the trailhead around the same time that also signed that guestbook, but that trail is generally very lightly traveled. Fern set off that day, happy to be enjoying nature and hoping to see some beautiful sights along the way. Meanwhile, back at the hotel Fern was staying at, a few days had gone by before staff noticed that Fern hadn't returned to her room and all of her belongings were left behind. Blaine County Sheriff Department was quickly alerted and immediately they decided to start a search of the area for Fern. It was now October 22nd, 3 days after Fern set off on her hike. Fairly quickly, her 2018 Subaru was located in the parking lot for the Prairie Creek Trailhead. Law enforcement noted that based on all of her belongings being left behind in her vehicle, personal stuff like her purse, they believed that she had originally set off intending to only do a day hike, meaning she wasn't planning on camping or spending the night anywhere. She should have returned to her car by now. Her signature was located in the guest book, and it was timestamped 1:17 p.m., October 19th. There was another couple that signed the guest book within minutes of Fern, as well as another family of five. Law enforcement decided to send search and rescue out on the trails to look for Fern immediately, fearing that maybe she became lost and injured and was in need of help. They also set out to locate those other hikers that had signed that guest book around the same time. They could possibly have some insight as they may have been the last ones to see her that day. Around 40 search and rescue workers hit the trails in the next few days, looking for any clues or any signs of Fern. They searched on foot, on ATVs, they utilized trained search dogs, and they even flew helicopters overhead. But no clues and no signs of Fern were discovered. Her family was also insistent that while she was an experienced hiker, she wasn't a daredevil. She was always known to stick to the trails and make smart hiking decisions. She never ventured off trail, and she knew the dangers that doing so could bring. It simply made no sense that she was nowhere to be found. Unfortunately, by October 30th, just 8 days after Fern was reported as missing and 11 days after she was last seen, the search for Fern had to be called off due to weather conditions and the conditions of the terrain itself. Nothing of Fern's was ever found. It was as if she disappeared into thin air out in that Idaho wilderness. The area of Prairie Creek Trail is an interesting one. First, there are a few different trails that one can take, and hikers have had a lot to say about some of them. In late 2019, one of the trails experienced a rock slide, making it virtually impassable. Hikers trying to hike to the lake that way found themselves having to turn back or find another way around this rock slide. It was mentioned that the park should have closed that trail. It was that dangerous at that time. Well, this rock slide happened in late 2019. It's October of 2020 when Fern goes missing. Could there still have been some dangerous terrain out there? Could Fern have tried to go around that rock slide and went off trail in doing so? Others yet have spoken up and said that the trail is very poorly marked and there are many times where hikers aren't even sure if they're still on the trail. They feel like they almost have to forge their own path. Yet this seems another way that a hiker could become lost and confused out there. The 10-mile hike is listed as moderately challenging as well, not necessarily a very easy hike. But Fern was no beginner either. She should have been able to navigate it without any trouble. Fern was 62 years old. She was in great health, but could she have had a medical emergency out there when she was all alone? The Prairie Creek Trails are located within the Sawtooth National Forest. This park consists of over 2 million acres, 1,000 miles of hiking, 81 campgrounds, 1,100 lakes, and several ski areas. It's beautiful, it's peaceful, it's dangerous. Fern's family doesn't understand how Fern could go out on this hike and never return. Someone with her experience and her knowledge? they quickly offered up a $25,000 reward for information leading them to Fern. Authorities would also spend a year trying to locate those other hikers that had signed the guestbook around the same time as Fern did. They finally did. However, they were unable to provide any additional clues or information that could help them in their investigation at all. A year after her disappearance, another organized search was conducted in that area, but once again, nothing was found. What do you think happened to Fern Baird? Did she become lost, injured, have a medical episode, maybe? Why hasn't anyone been able to find her out there? Perhaps she wanted to disappear. Or could she have run into foul play out there? But again, there have been zero clues leading to that conclusion either. Since her disappearance, her bank accounts, her cell phone, and credit cards have not been touched. Fern Baird is described as a Caucasian female standing about 5'5" tall and weighing around 115 pounds when she was last seen in October of 2020. She has brown hair and brown eyes. She was wearing a light gray jacket, dark colored pants, gray gloves, a dark colored mask, and a dark colored fanny pack. Fern was 62 years old when she was last seen. She would today be 65. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Fern Alexandra Baird is asked to contact the Blaine County Sheriff's Office at 208-788-5555. Thank you all so much for listening to Fern's story today. I know there's so much wilderness out there. Looking for Fern might be like looking for a needle in a haystack, but I'm still surprised that no clues were ever discovered. Nothing. Authorities knew exactly where they should have been searching for Fern. How far could she have gone that even the search dogs trained to pick up scents couldn't find her? I'm curious to know your thoughts on this one. Thank you also for being a supporter of our show and helping us get these names out there. It takes a village, and we are all part of that village. Connie Saylor Johnson loved living and being in nature. She was an experienced hiker and had spent many years as a wilderness park ranger for the U.S. Forest Service in Idaho. Connie also enjoyed giving tours and educating young people about the outdoors and hikes in the Idaho area. Connie was extremely intelligent and knowledgeable and was happy to share her knowledge and spread her love of nature. In the fall of 2018, Connie was working as a cook for Ritchie Outfitters. They had taken a group of hunters up to the Idaho backcountry. When the group headed out for a hunting trip, they bid farewell to Connie and her beloved dog, Ace, and they told her that they would be back in 3 days, on October 5th. The day after they left, October 3rd, they had radio contact with Connie, but the communication was so staticky, they couldn't understand each other. When the group returned to camp on October 5th, Connie wasn't there and neither was Ace. They waited a while for her, and when she didn't show up, they searched on their own. No one had seen or heard from Connie since that last garbled communication a couple of days earlier. She was reported as missing and search and rescue teams were immediately deployed. For weeks, they found no signs of Connie. However, 3 weeks after she was last heard from, her dog Ace showed up near the ranger station. He was alone. Where is Connie Saylor Johnson? The story of Connie Johnson is one I'm familiar with. A while back, I covered the story of Terrence Woods Jr., a young man working with a film crew who disappeared in Idaho. While researching his story, I came across the missing person report of Connie Johnson. They are often talked about together because their disappearances both happened in the Idaho backcountry and at the same time. In fact, Terrence disappeared October 5th, 2018, the same day that Connie's hunting group arrived back at camp and found Connie and Ace missing. And as of this recording, both are still missing with very few clues and leads to follow up on. Are the cases related? It wouldn't seem so on the surface, to me at least. But until we have any answers on either of them, we just don't know. Connie Marie Saylor Johnson was born December 11th, 1941. She was always an avid outdoors person. She loved hiking and just being in nature. In 2018, Connie was 76 years old and semi-retired. She had spent many years as a wilderness park ranger in Idaho and a volunteer giving young people tours and education on the outdoors. The Idaho backcountry is no joke, and Connie knew that. She was always well prepared and always taught others to be prepared and plan well before going out into the wilderness. Idaho has some rough terrain to navigate and plenty of wild animals, bears, mountain lions, snakes, and wolves, just to name a few. So much wildlife, in fact, it is not recommended to go out in the wilderness without a weapon to protect yourself. Even the most experienced hikers and wildlife experts will take a weapon with them for protection. Connie wasn't quite completely ready to retire, however. She was 76 years old, she was in good health, and she wanted to still enjoy some time in the woods, in the outdoors. So she got a job working with Ritchie Outfitters, and she would be a cook for the group of hunters that they would take out into the mountains. On October 2nd, 2018, Connie was in an area of Big Fog Mountain near Big Rock, Idaho. Her hunting group was preparing to leave for a few days, go out into the wilderness in the forest, and Connie and her dog Ace would remain back at the base camp. On October 3rd, 2018, the hunting group did have some radio communication with Connie, but that transmission was so garbled and staticky, it wasn't clear what she was saying. Now, this wasn't too out of the ordinary, however, as the wooded terrain sometimes offers up poor service with the radios. The group wasn't in any way alarmed or concerned. This was kind of just normal communication attempts while they were out in the forest. The group would return to camp on October 5th, 3 days after they had left. And when they got there, Connie and Ace were nowhere to be found. They spent some time searching the area themselves before finally calling in search and rescue. Because Connie was well known in that area to rangers and park employees, she had been an employee herself, the search for Connie began right away. Everyone out there searching for her was aware of who she was and knew that if she was lost, she could quite possibly be injured. Connie was highly experienced and would not just wander off and put herself at risk. Search and Rescue brought in search dogs, helicopters, ATVs, and every resource they had available, but no sign of Connie was found. It was as if she just vanished into thin air. On October 16th, 11 days after Connie was reported missing and 14 days after she was last seen, the search for Connie was called off. On October 23rd, a pilot coming into the Moose Ranger Station noticed something on the airstrip below as he descended. It was Ace, Connie's border collie dog. The dog was skinny and a little bit dirty, but otherwise he was okay. But there was still no Connie. The Moose Ranger Station, coincidentally where Connie used to work, was about 15 miles from the camp area where she had disappeared from. A search team took Ace back to the camp to see if he could possibly lead them to Connie, but that search was also unsuccessful. Connie's camp was located on Big Fog Mountain, a part of the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest. It is in the northern part of Idaho near the Montana border. When this area is described as Idaho backcountry, it is 100% the truth. This area is rural and rugged and far from any cities. The mountains, the wildlife, the drop-offs, the water, the rivers, all of this pose a danger to hikers and visitors. But again, everyone was shocked at Connie's disappearance here. At 76 years old, she had spent most of her adult life living and working in this backcountry. She even taught others how to do so safely. What could have happened to her? This case, this story, leaves us with so many questions. Why did she leave camp to begin with? Was she just taking a hike and something happened to go very wrong? She had a medical incident of some sort or became injured and lost her way? And where had Ace been for 3 weeks? Had he been staying by Connie's side? Or was he also lost and alone in the forest before he found his way to the Moose Ranger Station? If only dogs could talk, right? If Connie had become injured or ill, why was she so hard to find? She knew to stay on the trails where she could be found. She knew how to be safe out there. Or had someone come upon the camp and Connie met with foul play? It's so hard to lean one way or another here because there are zero clues to really follow up on. Her family does believe something bad might have happened out there, but in no way believes that she walked off on purpose with the intention to not return. This just was not Connie. This was not something she would do. And then there's the case of Terrence Woods Jr., a filmmaker also working in the Idaho backcountry wilderness that disappeared on October 5th, possibly the same exact day as Connie. Terrence was on set filming for a TV show when he suddenly took off running into the woods. When some of his crew ran after him to see where he was going and what he was doing, they came upon a cliffside, and at first they thought that Terrence might have fallen and hurt himself. He might have fallen over this cliff, but when they looked down, they saw him running away at the bottom, seemingly unhurt. What had randomly caused Terrence to do this? Searches for Terrence also turned up absolutely nothing. I did cover Terrence's case in more depth last year, and I will reshare it if you'd like a refresher. It is definitely one of the more bizarre ones. And although there are some behavior clues that make you wonder if Terrence was going through something, there's essentially no evidence at all of what could have happened to Terrence out there. Connie, however, had been acting completely normal, according to everyone who was around her at that time. Connie is described as a Caucasian female with shorter blonde hair and blue eyes. She stands 5'7" tall and weighed around 140 pounds when she was last seen in October of 2018. Connie was 76 years old then and would today be 81. She could have been wearing a green shirt, green pants, and Kennetrek hiking boots, size 9.5 women's. Since Connie is also a retired Forest Service employee, she might have also been wearing her old Forest Service clothes. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Connie Johnson is asked to contact the Idaho County Sheriff's Office at 208-983-1100. Especially if you were hiking or camping in that area during that time and you might have noticed or seen something unusual, please reach out to the sheriff's office. 5 years is a long time for Connie's family to wait for answers and wonder what happened. Connie's friends and family wanted her legacy to live on, and they wanted to spread her love of the outdoors to others. They established the Connie Saylor Johnson Wilderness Education Fund to honor her work and to provide hands-on wilderness education experiences to people of all ages. The fund has grown steadily since her disappearance in 2018, mostly through continued supporters and donations. You can find more information about this program at www.selwaybitterroot.org. And of course, I will also put a link in the show notes for you to check it out if you are interested. Thank you so much for listening to Connie's story today. It's so baffling to me that we just have no idea what happened to this woman, that no clues were left behind whatsoever. I'm not sure that I believe the case of Terrence Woods Jr. is related in any way to Connie's disappearance, but the two are often mentioned together, and I know a lot of people do wonder about it. Connie and Terrence were two very different people and vanished under two very different circumstances. But since we have no idea what happened to either one of them, I guess it's anyone's guess. I'm curious to know what you think on that one. If you venture out into the wilderness at all for a hike or a camp out, please be safe. Take precautions and avoid unnecessary risks. Try not to go alone, and please tell somebody where you're at and your plans and your itinerary. Catherine Truitt was an artsy woman who enjoyed teaching art to children. Catherine had suffered an injury to her neck and spinal cord, which had eventually rendered her unable to do her daily job of being a pastry chef, something that Catherine also loved. Catherine, however, was still dedicated to keeping active. She said the more active she was, the more she kept the chronic pain at bay. Catherine enjoyed taking walks and hikes, especially near the coastal towns near her home in California. Sylvia Lang, at age 77, was a daily writer. She wrote in a journal every day and was proud of her accomplishments of writing a haiku a day. Sylvia also resided in California and also enjoyed regular walks and hikes. These two women didn't know each other, but their stories would soon be intertwined. On January 6, 2010, Catherine left her home planning to go hiking near McClure's Beach in Point Reyes National Park. Sylvia Lang, a couple of weeks later, also decided to go hiking in Point Reyes National Park, taking her three dogs with her. Neither of these women would return from their hikes. Where are Catherine Truitt and Sylvia Lang? I began researching Catherine Truitt's disappearance, and I came across the story of Sylvia Lang. The details of their disappearances are intermingled in their missing person reports, as you'll see. Some of the same facts have been listed in both cases, so it became very difficult to figure out which details belonged to which person. Their disappearances also happened within a couple of weeks of each other in the same general location, under very similar circumstances. So let's take a look at the stories of Catherine Truitt and Sylvia Lang. Catherine Truitt was born October 11th, 1972. Catherine often went by the nickname of Cat, and she truly loved being active and spending time outdoors. Cat also enjoyed cooking and baking, and after graduating from the California Culinary Academy, she would spend several years working as a pastry chef. Cat also enjoyed art and even taught some art classes to children. Cat did suffer a neck injury in an accident and soon found herself dealing with chronic pain. One way she found to manage her pain was to keep moving, and she began taking regular walks and hikes in and around her home in Alameda, California. One of her favorite spots to visit was the Point Reyes National Seashore, about an hour's drive from her home. Knowing that she had to keep moving to keep her neck pain at bay, this was a beautiful place for her to go hiking. On January 6, 2010, Kat decided to head up to Point Reyes that day and go for a hike. She saw her roommate in the morning and she left Alameda to go spend some time outdoors. A couple of days later, Point Reyes National Park rangers found Kat's Ford Ranger pickup truck near McClure's Beach in Point Reyes. They made a note of it, and the next day, they found the truck in the same place. They ran the license plate to discover that it belonged to Catherine Truitt, and they began searching for her. They soon realized that Catherine Truitt had been missing now for almost 4 days. Much of the terrain and hiking in and around Point Reyes is rocky, and what can be sometimes described as a very dangerous shoreline in many of the areas. The fear for authorities and for Catherine's friends was that a rogue wave may have struck and Kat was taken out to sea. But some that knew her said that this would have never happened. Kat was a very experienced hiker and swimmer, and they couldn't imagine her being in a position where this could even happen to her. Scent tracking dogs were used to try and track Kat's scent, and it was tracked to the beach where they eventually lost her scent, leaving authorities to further believe their theory that she had an accident of some kind and had fallen into the water. To date, there have been no other signs of Kat Truitt. Catherine Truitt is described as a Caucasian woman standing 5'10" tall and weighing around 175 pounds when she was last seen in January of 2010. Kat had shoulder-length brown hair and hazel eyes. She was 37 years old then and would today be 51 years old. Kat was wearing a black windbreaker jacket, an olive green shirt or sweater, a white undershirt, size 16 black or blue jeans, and men's size 8 black Keen hiking sneakers. She may have been carrying a green or black backpack. Anyone with any information on the disappearance of Kat Truitt is asked to contact the Alameda Police Department at 510-337-8311. Sylvia Lang. A couple of weeks after Kat vanished, Sylvia decided to take her dogs for a hike at Point Reyes National Seashore, something she had done many times before. At 77 years old, Sylvia was in great health and in great shape. She was a retired psychiatric nurse and had a very successful career. Sylvia had also taught college students, and she had written several publications on psychiatric nursing. She was known to be one of the best in the field. Sylvia might have been retired, but she was still a busy and active woman and volunteered at several organizations. She was divorced and had never had children, so she loved to spend her time doing things for others. Sylvia trained service dogs for canine companions for independence. She also volunteered at Marin Agricultural Land Trust, Angel Island State Park, and the Nicasio Historical Society. On January 23rd, 2010, Sylvia decided to head over to Point Reyes National Seashore to do some hiking. She took her dogs with her, and she planned on spending the day there. It wasn't until her dog was later found tied to a tree that it was realized that Sylvia had gone missing. Her nearby vehicle also had her two other dogs inside. Authorities, just as in the case of Kat Truitt, believed that Sylvia likely had an accident while hiking and fell into the rough waters, possibly even being hit by a sneaker wave. A sneaker wave is a wave that hits suddenly and comes much further up onto the shore than the waves before and after it, often taking people by great surprise. Could Sylvia have been struck by a sneaker wave? Could Kat have been struck by a sneaker wave? It also makes me wonder if this did happen while Sylvia was out hiking. How did her two dogs get inside of her truck? Did she leave them there instead of taking them on her hike with her? Doesn't seem normal to take your dogs hiking only to leave them in the truck. I suppose the third dog could have been running loose on his leash and a passerby found him and tied him to a tree for safety until his owner found him. And perhaps Sylvia was taking one dog for a hike at a time. The scenario with the dogs seems kind of unusual to me, but possible. Searches of the area, however, turned up no signs of Sylvia anywhere. Sylvia Lang is described as a Caucasian woman standing 5 foot tall and weighing around 145 pounds when she was last seen in January of 2010. She had brownish gray hair, brown eyes, and usually wore glasses. She was believed to have been wearing a red raincoat, a white down jacket, dark colored pants, and sneakers. Anyone with any information on the disappearance of Sylvia Lang is asked to contact the Point Reyes National Seashore Rangers at 415-464-5170. I do want to mention that in several files where I could find Sylvia and Kat's cases mentioned, I noticed that their details within their cases were very intertwined. Many files state that the dogs were Kat's, yet others say that the dogs were Sylvia's. Upon the best I could figure out is that the dogs were Sylvia's. Did Kat have a dog with her? Maybe. The details were a bit confusing, but I tried to decipher whose dogs were whose as best as I could. In many cases, in both of their files, it states that their dog was found tied to a tree and then their two other dogs were found in their vehicle. And I just think there's no way that same exact scenario happened to these two women. So the details definitely are getting confused, but it seems, from what I can tell, that the dogs were Sylvia's. Now, is it a coincidence that Kat Truitt and Sylvia Lang both vanished in the Point Reyes National Seashore area within 2 weeks of each other? Authorities think so. It is believed in both cases that the women had an accident while hiking and likely ended up in the water. But both of these women were very familiar with that area, and they were both very experienced hikers. I did do a little research on the Point Reyes National Seashore and found several incidents there, however. As recently as October of 2023, a swimmer went missing off the shore at North Beach in Point Reyes. North Beach, if you recall, was the location that Sylvia was known to be in when she disappeared. This swimmer vanished in clear view of other swimmers who were able to identify it as a shark attack. In July of 2021, a hiker vanished at Point Reyes, a woman by the name of Mitra Rosti. She was eventually found at the base of the cliff where it was presumed she had fallen to her death. In January of 2016, a photographer vanished from the Point Reyes area and his body was found washed ashore 4 days after he disappeared. The most horrific incidents, however, happened back in 1980. Four bodies were found on a seldom-used remote trail at Point Reyes Park. There would be three other bodies found in Point Reyes throughout that year, and there was a fear among the community that there was a serial killer on the loose. And it turns out that fear was legitimate. David Carpenter was arrested for committing these murders, along with three additional murders at another San Francisco area park. In 1984, he was convicted and sentenced to death. While it's believed that Kat and Sylvia probably had an accident, is it possible that they could have run into foul play at Point Reyes National Seashore? Point Reyes National Seashore is located just across from San Francisco. There are over 150 miles of hiking trails and some very rugged shoreline. Of course, there are some beautiful beaches as well that bring out swimmers, surfers, and water lovers of all kinds. One of the more notable hikes is the hike to Alamare Falls, a 13-mile round-trip hike to a beautiful waterfall. Only a few of the trails are pet-friendly, from what I can tell, and Sylvia did have her dogs with her. So she likely would have planned to remain on those trails. So what do you think happened to Sylvia and or Kat? Do you feel their disappearances could be related, or more likely a coincidence that they happened so close together in the same area? Thank you so much for listening to Sylvia and Kat's stories today. And thank you so much for being a subscriber either on Patreon or on your podcast platform. I appreciate the support so, so much and truly hope to find additional ways that we can help the families of the missing this year. If you have any suggestions or ideas on that, I welcome all feedback. Email me anytime or hit me up on social media. We will be back again very soon with another Unsolved Missing Persons episode. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.